If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
That was Morgan Moses and Super Bowl mic'd up NFL Films. That was in the second quarter when the score was still 6-0. But you would think, from the way Moses sounded and sort of the desperation in his voice, that it was a much bigger deficit. That sounded like a guy talking to a team that was down 16-0 or 26-0, you know, like, we're here, guys, come on, we're here, you know, snap out of it. And they never really could, not until the very end of the game. And another thing that showed me is that after that Hollins touchdown and the stop that they got, going back the other way, about nine and a half minutes left to go in the game. Enough time for a score, a stop, and another score. Absolutely it was. Absolutely it was. And then Drake May just throws one of the worst balls of the season. That interception. That thing had no chance. And he had time. He had time on that ball. He had a nice pocket. He stepped up. Eyes downfield. No sense of where to put the ball. Just completely threw it behind Williams, who I think if you would let him towards the sideline, didn't look like there was another guy over there.
Seen ghosts.
Kind of saw a ghost there. Or it looked like he just missed the throw. I mean, that really is what it looked like. Watching on the replay, I was half expecting to see his arm hit somebody's helmet or something. Oh, well, okay, it was an errant throw. It's not where he meant to throw it. No, he looked right there. Eyes downfield. Got the ball out, full extension. This was after he had just orchestrated a touchdown drive with a couple of nice deep throws. And so you thought, okay, maybe he's starting to get into a rhythm here. Really, we were waiting the entire game for Drake May to get into any kind of rhythm. Any kind. He's a rhythm kind of player, you know? Like, you saw that over the course of the year. There were some games he did not get off to a good start. But once he started cooking, he's throwing on the run. He's, you know, getting the ball out quickly. He's reading the defense. He's doing it all. He's making plays with his feet. He was a force this year. And he couldn't do any. I mean, really, like, there was just almost none of that. In the whole playoff run towards the Super Bowl either, there were plays here and there. And those plays ended up, you know, making a big difference, obviously, with the way the defense played. But in the Super Bowl, there were not enough of them, and certainly not soon enough. By the time they finally got cooking, they were down 3 scores. And then in the middle of that drive that could have brought them to within 1 score, the worst ball of the year. I mean, that was, you know, it was one of the worst throws he's had in his young career, honestly. And that was it. Now, game went on after that, and then, you know, the next, I think it was the next drive or the drive after that with that pick six, as they just had no answer for Witherspoon, and that was another part of it that they showed on Mic'd Up, was the strategy of deploying Witherspoon on that corner blitz, and how even though they did it over and over again, the Patriots looked totally shocked by it each time. They ran that play 6 times. Witherspoon blitzed 6 times. He's their best cover corner. And it's like, it was almost like every time they did it, they assumed, all right, well, they're not going to do that again. They got us with that sneaky play, but they're not going to blitz him again. And then they did. And then they kept doing it. And he got home almost every single time. Not for a sack, but a QB hit or a pressure or something. He was right there. And there were just so few plays. Going into the third quarter, they had 78 yards. Just, you know, just nothing. Just bupkis that defense was giving them. And good example of that was the Riley Mills sack on Drake May, which I also looked at a little bit differently after watching it in the mic'd up thing. But let's hear what that sounded like behind the scenes. If we have.
Drop the ball, man. It only takes one play. Hit him. It only takes one play.
Drake May on second down looks. Drake May
gets wrapped up on Mills. Mills takes his defender, pushes him into the backfield, and oh, by the way, grabs the quarterback on the way to the ground for a sack. Riley Mills, who just come into his own late in the season after recovering from injury, the rookie out of Notre Dame.
Who is that guy?
On the sideline, that was his first sack of the year. That was that kid's first sack of the year in the Super Bowl. And it wasn't just a sack. Like, that was a grown... Clip this one, Joe. That was a grown man sack. Pause. It really was. It was one-on-one, him and Wilson. And he didn't just push Wilson back. He pushed Wilson all the way back into May, then went right through him, basically, and got to May himself. Watching that in NFL film super slow motion and all the different angles and everything made it a lot worse than it was, and it was bad to begin with. But watching it again and watching all the different angles of it, it made it look much worse. Wilson gets dominated, but when you see the angle from behind May, he could have gotten away from that, but he was just standing there. I mean, he was standing there like a statue. He took his drop. He's looking down the field. He sees that Wilson is getting shoved backwards, and he could have leaked out to the left and just bided a little more time there. Instead, he just stands there like a statue of Drew Bledsoe. And not only does Wilson hit him, and that still doesn't get him moving, Wilson hits him, and then Mills comes around Wilson and sacks him. And it just shows such a lack of pocket awareness, which is something that I thought he, even his rookie year, I thought he'd kind of picked up pretty quickly. That was, you know, like that, that's like someone learning to drive and they're driving in a parking lot and there's one light post and they hit the one light post in the whole parking lot. Like there was nothing out. There was no real other pressure coming. It was just that one-on-one matchup. He could have gone late, could have done all sorts of different things. And he just sort of let it, hey, he just sort of let them go in and get him. Yeah, Joe.
There could also be the PTSD from almost hitting the multiple light posts that you got there before you get to the parking lot. First, just thinking with the analogy, you know, getting hit so much by that offensive line and having such little time.
Sure.
The clock gets sped up.
Yeah, and he definitely was sped up. He was playing sped up, no question about that. Even when he had a pocket, he felt like he didn't. You could see that. You could see it just seemed that way. And Drake May's behavior, I guess, like his demeanor throughout the mic'd up, was not exactly inspiring, I'll say that. He doesn't say a whole lot. What you mostly hear is Vrabel trying to pick him up. Come on, look at me, smile, come on, you know, like stuff like that. You don't hear a lot from Drake May. You really don't. I mean, he doesn't really, I don't know if that's just how he was that day or they didn't want to highlight him too much because he was a losing quarterback. I have no idea. NFL Films edits how they edit, and they leave stuff out, and I know that, and I'm not trying to say that we know everything there is to know about this game and what went on during the game and on the sideline based off of this 140-minute program that they put out.
Hey, we got to be alert. Hey, movement. Hey, get your head up. Hey, look at me. That's it. Hey, settle down. Okay, let's be ready. Hey, let's be ready, locked in.
That was after the first series. If you remember that first series, the Patriots moved the ball. They crossed the 50. One of the rare times they did that. This was the first drive of the game. They crossed the 50, and then May took that big sack. Pause again. And that was them coming off the field after the first series. Look at me. Hey, come on. You know, like, you could tell right away.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, contrast that with the way the Seahawks were talking. Just listen to this. This is Leonard Williams, and I forget which offensive lineman it was, but they're going into the half. It's 9-0, or was it 12-0? Now I can't remember. whatever it was, 9-0 or 12-0, one or the other. And they're going into the locker room, and Leonard Williams, who's this leader on the defense by far, big defensive lineman, gets one of the O-linemen goes up to
Gray
him.
Gray Zabel, just as his name.
Gray Zabel is the guy. Goes up to him, and listen to this exchange. It's a great
exchange. In the end zone for you guys.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. Don't worry about it.
And ask us off.
Yes, sir. They're not about to score. One more high, baby. That's in the world. It'll be you.
Yes, sir.
And that was their attitude the whole game. The whole game. All it was the Seahawks prancing around, preening around, feeling themselves, talking about how great they are, calling out what the Patriots were going to do on offense, pointing out tendencies of the O-lineman, pointing out tendencies of Drake May when he wants to throw the ball deep, all that sort of stuff. I mean, really, really locked in. Really locked in. And that extended to even before they started the game. That might have been the thing that struck me the hardest, watching the whole thing. In the first 5 minutes of this mic'd up, it's all just pregame stuff. And before the game starts, the Seahawks are strutting around like Ric Flair. They're confident. Styling and profiling. Like, they are just convinced that not only are they going to win this game, they are going to dominate this game. And they're all basically saying it. They know what to do. They're just very sure that they were going to win.
Not to mention, when you get to the Patriots side of the pregame, they showed, I think it was Ramondre Stevenson going to his mom, which was a great moment.
Nice moment.
And then it was, I think, Christian Gonzalez was, they showed him hyping up the rest of the defensive backs. So it's like, you get the sense of like hyping it up, but you pick one of the quietest guys on the team.
Yeah, the one guy who came ready to play, by the way, Christian Gonzalez. But yeah, not a guy who's super vocal. I mean, you know, just in the mic'd up stuff that I've seen of Gonzalez, whenever they show him on the field, he doesn't say anything. And I remember those interviews with Jones and Keefe. Not a big talker, that guy. But yeah, you're right. He was the one pumping up the defense. That's true. Before the thing started, and he was pumped up. The rest of the defense was not.
Nah, I'm not too much of a talker.
We know. We know, Gonzo. The Patriots were not like the Seahawks demeanor wise at all. There was Vrabel telling May to smile. Diggs was saying that, too, in the beginning when they were all lining up. He looks at Drake May. He's like, you got to smile, man. You're 23 years old playing in the Super Bowl. A lot of people telling May to smile, which I've always told was a condescending thing. You don't tell people to smile, but everyone was telling Drake May to smile. And he was not smiling. And then the game started, and he was really not smiling. It was his first Super Bowl. He's young. Yeah, he's obviously going to be nervous. But that was a very stark contrast, I thought. I thought that was probably as stark of a contrast as there was. And just real quick, back to that Leonard Williams thing. You heard a player on the offense, an offense that had only managed three field goal drives at that point in the game, going up to a player on the defense and saying, hey, we're not holding up our end of the bargain, buddy. We're going to try and get in that end zone for you. And what did Leonard Williams say?
And ask us off.
Yes, sir. They're not about to score.
Don't worry about it. They're not going to score. We got it. Get in that end zone, but we got it. Contrast that now with, and it was a different setting, obviously, Christian Barmore and Milton Williams on the sideline after the game was basically in hand and the Patriots realized that they were going to lose. This was Christian Barmore and Milton Williams commiserating on the sideline.
You good, baby? Come on.
My fault,
man. You good, bro.
It's going to stain for a little bit.
It wasn't us, twin. It wasn't us,
I swear.
It wasn't us, twin.
Now we just got to build them next year, bro. Keep getting better and better. We're back in the lab.
Wasn't us, bro. Wasn't us. It's kind of you. Not more than the offense. The offense was the real culprits there. But like I said on Monday, and I've been saying all week, I went into that Super Bowl as a spectator, and I wasn't going to be surprised if the offense struggled again. I didn't think it would be that bad, but I was expecting them to have a hard time. I was expecting them, much like they did against Denver and Houston and L.A., I was expecting that to be some tough customers over there in Seattle, and I thought that the offense would struggle. That was not a surprise. What was a surprise? Kenneth Walker III, 135 yards rushing, 5 yards a carry. That was a surprise. And that was you, Christian. That was you. Wasn't all you. They were busting those runs to the outside. I get it. I mean, listen, you can only do what you can. that you were part of that defense, and that was not, I mean, the run defense just didn't get the job done. Just didn't get the job done. I think the only position grouping that had the right to say something like it really wasn't us, was the defensive secondary and Gonzalez. Gonzalez, you know, Will Campbell didn't want to talk after that Super Bowl. I bet you Gonzo would have been, for the first time in his life, ready to talk. Yeah, you know, we lost, but did you see that play? You see what I did out there? I was balling out there. Too bad nobody else was, except for Woodson. Woodson was balling. Two guys. That's basically it. And you're not going to win the Super Bowl that way. You're not going to win a lot of games that way. And they did not. And with that, I'd say that's just about it for our Viking funeral for the New England Patriots. All that's left to do now is, push the casket out to sea, I think, or something like that? Light it on fire or something? I don't know. I've been saying Viking funeral all week, and I don't even really know what a Viking funeral entails. The big gong, they like hit a gong? Okay. I'll look that up during the break.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.